Well, hello, and a very warm welcome to the OK Cafe. And it's been a while since we've been here in the OK Cafe, and I'm a little bit nervous about coming back. I'm not sure about you, but if you have never been to the OK Cafe before, can I recommend that you go and listen to the introduction, the very first episode, because it will give you a great overview, really, of why we're here and why I'm nervous about coming back. It's been, I think, almost a 3-month break from the OK Cafe, and it is a place where we take out those difficult emotions that we've put into our cupboard. We look at them, understand them, accept them, and obviously ultimately let them go. And I think the reason that I am nervous is because that there might be a fair bit going on in my cupboard over the past few months. But we will get onto that. So first of all, please, if you have been here before, and you're happy that you understand why we are here, then do come in, do take a seat, do get yourself a drink, sit nice and comfortably. I've actually got honey and hot water with me. You might be able to hear my voice. I think I've got a little bit of a sore throat coming time of year and all that. So yes. I've got my honey and hot water here, and I am ready to come in to the OK Cafe. So here we are in the OK Cafe. We've had a break. We've had Christmas and the start of a new year. So I think the last episode I did was November 2018, and here we are now in February 2019. I'm sure lots has happened in your world as lots has happened in mine. And I think the reason that I haven't been here, if I'm brutally honest, is a kind of lack of ability. I don't know if ability is the right word. Certainly mindset, a mind space, actually, that's probably a better phrase. Lack of mind space to deal with what I know is some real difficult ingrained things, challenges to deal with. So at the end of 2018, something happened in my personal life, in my kind of extended modern family, to kind of prompt me to look at things as and to look at 2019 as an opportunity for a new start, and a real new start. I think we talk about new starts quite a lot, and clean slates and all of those sorts of things, but I don't think that's as easy. It certainly isn't as easy for me as perhaps I might like to think it is. So something happening in my life that really prompted me to go, right, new start, like really new start. What is it that we want? I'm saying we, the raw we. What is it that I want out of not just 2019, but the next 5-10 years of my life? What is it that I want, and how am I going to use 2019 as the start, the springboard, if you like, in order to get it? And I've done a lot of soul searching, and what that's meant from an OK Cafe point of view, from that cupboard, is I've had to have a really good rummage. I've not just kind of taken out the emotions that are at the front of the cupboard, that are almost falling out when you open it. I've had to go deep. I've had to go right at the back of the cupboard with those jars and and tins and whatnot that are way, 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 way past their sell-by date, that you just keep shoving stuff in front of. That's what I've been doing over the past couple of months, and yeah, it's been hard, and I think that's why I've kind of postponed the OK Cafe visit, because I've thought, well, I need to be in a place where I can articulate some of this stuff a bit better. And I've been reading a lot. That's kind of what always happens when I'm doing a lot of thinking and a lot of life analysis, is I do a lot of reading. I've been reading a guy called Matt Haig. I don't know if any of you follow him. Amazing on Twitter, and he's also written several books about his own battle with depression. And with the world that we live in, the modern world, and what impact that has on us, and that's been brilliant. But I've also been reading another book that put forward an idea to me, that I want to share with you. And the idea was around the psychology of scarcity, and what that means. Or what I understand it to mean is that when we believe something is scarce, we kind of have a different attitude to it. We kind of have an attitude of clinging on to it. I mean, this particular book, it talks about money, actually. It's talking about the kind of psychology of scarcity. That's quite hard to say. Psychology of scarcity. When it as it relates to money, and to food, and things like that, and obviously that kind of the less money you have, or not even the less money you have necessarily, the less you believe you have, the more scarce you believe money or food or whatever kind of resource it is, the more scarce you believe it to be, the more you will cling on to it, desperately. The more desperately you will cling on to it, the more you will exclude other things in the pursuit of that resource which you believe to be scarce. Success, might be another good way to relate that. There is a lot. I don't, maybe a lot is not fair, but certainly, in kind of the more dog eat dog view of the business world, there's this idea that there is, only so much success to be had, and therefore, one person's success means less success for someone else. I don't hold by that rule, but I can see where it comes from. This psychology of scarcity. How much success is there? How much sales is there? How much money is there? It feels like there is not a limitless amount. There is a finite amount of resource to go around. So I digress a little bit, because actually that's not how I've looked at the psychology of scarcity. I have been very interested in looking at it from an emotional point of view, from the point of view of what is it that I believe is scarce. And the answer to that question, it was quite a sad revelation, if I'm honest. I believe that it's love. I think that, or I have previously in my life believed that love is scarce. That love is something that you must desperately cling on to whenever and wherever you see it, or feel it, or whatever, whatever that might be. And reading this book, which is not about that, but reading this book and having the opportunity to really think, I've been away for a few days, in a lovely hot country, which is perfect for the end of January getaway. And I've been having this opportunity to really, really think about why I believe love is scarce, and to try and reprogram my brain to say that it isn't. love isn't scarce. Love is everywhere, to quote the Beatles or whoever it was. Although love is all around, isn't it? That's word. But it's yeah, it's been, I think it's been a real revelation for me to realize that I have looked at love that way, that I have looked at love through that lens as something that is scarce, that's something that needs to be desperately clung onto, whenever and wherever it appears. And obviously the issue with that is that I'm not looking at it in a kind of objective way. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but I'm certainly not looking at love in the best way that I could be. And I'm not looking at situations, particularly romantic situations, with the best lens for me and for my future. So that is it's kind of where I am, really. I've started online dating at the beginning of 2019, and I am trying to look at it through a different lens, and to acknowledge that love is not scarce. Love is not something that desperately needs to be clung on to. That actually love is far more fluid, and it comes and it goes, and that is really the beauty of it. So we're coming to the end of our time in the OK Cafe, and once again, I'd like to say an enormous thank you for being here, for listening, for allowing me this space to come to terms with some tricky things. And yes, that the rummage that I have had deep in the darkest depth of my mind cupboard over the last couple of months have certainly given me a new perspective on things, and I'm nervous, but also very excited to be in a place where I am looking at my life and the influences on my life in a very different way, and with the kind of renewed effort, I guess, to ensure that I look at love not as a scarce thing to be desperately clung on to, but actually as something that is everywhere, all around, and all the other things that the songs say. Lastly, I always make a book recommendation, and so today I'm going to recommend that book that talks about the psychology of scarcity. It's called Utopia for Realists and How We Can Get There, and it's by a gentleman called Rutger Bregman, and I believe he's Dutch, and has actually been on, I've seen him on the television recently, talking about some of his kind of socio-economic ideas. So yes, that's Utopia for Realists and How We Can Get There, and it's Rutger Bregman. And as I said, there are many, many things to pull out of this book, but the thing that I particularly focused on was the psychology of scarcity, and what that meant to me in my life. So all that remains for me to say is again a massive thank you for joining me here in the OK Cafe, and I really do genuinely hope to see you again soon. And I hope that next time the visit will be a bit sooner. And yes, so my apologies for that, but the rummage in the cupboard was necessary, and I'm very pleased to have done it. I look forward to speaking to you all soon. Take care.